Chapter 1, verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. The believer is a partaker of the divine nature. And we have seen in the past that our Lord Jesus Christ has the very nature of God. And as we shall see tonight in our reading, we are partakers of the divine nature. And I sometimes wonder, how can we contain the divine nature? But so it is. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's the subject. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In addition, giving all diligence, as we pointed out before, many of your Bibles say add. The better word is develop. It's not a question of adding something and adding another. It's a question of development. Besides all this, giving all diligence, develop in your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. And temperance, patience. In our developing, we are to develop patience. That's our subject for tonight. I'm going to ask you to read with me a few psalms having to do with patience. Psalm 27, please. Psalm 27. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly, my soul waits silently for the Lord. Verse 5. My soul waits silently on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Patience. Now, you know, we're living in a day when everybody's in a hurry. You remember the race to the moon? Who was going to get there first? Then they had a plane, an SST, that went at the speed of sound. They've laid it aside for a while. I guess it isn't fast enough. I remember years ago, I was just a child, my father gave my mother a present. I don't know whether it was for her birthday or the marriage, he gave her a set of pots. Oh, she liked those pots. This pot for one thing and that pot for another. But that didn't last too long before they introduced the pressure cooker. Didn't need so many pots. Dinner was faster. And now today you don't even hear about a pressure cooker. The microwave.
dinner in 15 minutes. Don't wait. Speed it up. Go fast. But do you know that haste makes waste? Work hastened is work spoiled. It has been pointed out that if you force a dog to deliver before her term, all the pups will be born blind. Speed. But the message is wait. Patience. Now turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Raphathim, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth the Ephratite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. The man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Her adversary provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Isn't that sad? Peninnah had children and Hannah had none. And Peninnah provoked, irritated, aggravated Hannah. What did Hannah do? Verse 9. Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. There's an old saying from the south of the United States. You may talk about me as much as you please. I'll talk about you on my knees. And that's what Hannah did. Perplexed and bothered by Peninnah, she talked about her on her knees. And what did Hannah pray for? Verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Please note that she wanted a man-child. Now, why did she want a man-child? If she had a girl child, Peninnah couldn't tease her anymore. Why did she ask for a man child? Come back to chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man of Rephaim, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah. Elkanah. You know, sometimes you wonder why the Lord gives us all these names, all these lists. We had a brother in New York who used to say, he's now with the Lord, when you get those names, read them carefully. Number one, they'll teach you patience. Number two, if your name was written there, you'd want it read properly. And number three, in my opinion, you learn much.
Her husband was Elkanah. There are 10 Elkanahs in the New Testament. That doesn't help, does it? To know who this Elkanah was, you have to search the scriptures. Well, that's what the Bereans did. They searched the scriptures daily. Who was this Elkanah, the husband of Hannah? And when you search carefully, what do you think you'll find out? He was a Levite. Why did Hannah ask for a son? Any son that she had through Elkanah would be a Levite and would have access to the house of God. That's why she asked for a son and not a daughter. And why did she want a son? Because the house of God, I was going to say in shambles, but it wasn't what it should have been. And she wanted a son to be used of God to go in there and write the things of God. What was wrong in the house of God? Verse 9. Hannah rose up after they had eaten Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest, sat on a seat. Oh my. When you go home, trace the genealogy of Eli. See where he came from. As a matter of fact, let's do this now. Let's trace the priesthood. Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. Who was this Elkanah? Why did she want a Levite son in the house of God? Why didn't she want a girl? That would satisfy Peninnah. But she wanted a boy. Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. Take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may enter unto me in the priest's office. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Leviticus chapter 10. You see, beloved, if we're going to find out the significance of many of these things, we've got to search the scriptures. That's what the Bereans did. And that's what we need to do. Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. There went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. Verse 12, Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left. Two gone, two left. Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Aaron had four sons. Two were gone, two left. Eleazar and Ithamar. Numbers chapter 3. Verse 32. Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, shall be chief over the chief of the Levites. Eleazar was made prince or chief over the Levites. Chapter 20. You may wonder why I'm going through all this, but I think you'll see very soon. Chapter 20. Verse 23. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. He shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them into the Mount Hor. Now, strip Aaron of his garments, put them on Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Eleazar appointed in the place of Aaron. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 6. Deuteronomy 10, verse 6. The children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jacob to Moserah. There Aaron died, there he was buried, and Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office. What is all this about? Well, why do we read all of this? Aaron was priest, he died, and Eleazar was priest in his line. And why was Hannah disturbed about conditions in the temple, the tabernacle temple? Eli. Now, you do it at home. I'm not going to trace it here. You do what we just did for Eli. You will find that Eli was not an descendant of Eleazar. He was a descendant of Ithamar. He was in the wrong place. He was a usurper. He didn't belong there. Come back to 1 Samuel, please. Verse 9. Eli was not of the house of Eleazar. He was not to be priest. He was a usurper. That's why Hannah wanted things changed. Now read in verse 9. Eli the priest sat on a seat. Oh my, where did he get the seat from? There were no seats in the tabernacle, and later on, no seats in the temple. Where did he get his seat? Who told him to? When God gave Moses the directions for the tabernacle, he gave specific information. What wood to use, what cloth to use, blue, red, and so forth. But there were no seats in the tabernacle. No seats in the temple. Why? Yet Eli was sitting. Who told him what seat to make, what to make it of, what size to make it, what shape to make? Where did he get his information? He didn't get it from God. He was a usurper, and he was sitting on a seat. Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 3, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of God's glory the exact image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged. And by the way, beloved, that's the only mention in the whole Bible of purgatory. You can mark it. This is purgatory. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. Chapter 10, please. Verse 12. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one off sacrifice for sin, sat down. Why did he sit? Because the work of salvation and the work for sin was completed. Eli should not have been sitting because the work of salvation had not been completed. He was a usurper in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. Hannah prayed for a son. Now, I'm going to ask you to look it up at home. We won't go through the scriptures that we've just done. Why did she want a son? Her husband was Elkanah. That's interesting, you know. There are 10 Elkanahs mentioned in the Old Testament. Now, how are you going to pick out her husband? How are you going to know where he came from? His genealogy. You can trace it. When you go home, trace the genealogy of Elkanah. You know what you'll find out? Elkanah was a Levite in the line of Eliezer. Therefore, if she had a son through Elkanah, her son would be a Levite with authority to go into the temple. Do I make the point clear? See how beautiful the Bible is? When you dig, what wonderful things you find. And here is a woman who saw what was wrong in the house of God, saw what was incorrect, and prayed to God for a son who could go into that house of God and straighten things out. Eli, a usurper, sitting down. Let's trace his life. See what happened to him. I say brother Eli, he was a brother in the Lord. He'll be in heaven. Now first we saw him sitting down. You will remember that. Now in chapter 2, verse 2. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down. He's now lying down. He was sitting down. He's lying down. Now come to chapter 4 and verse 18. It came to pass when Eli made mention of, servant made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell on the seat backward and break his neck. In the wrong place, sitting on a stool, lying down, and finally he fell down. Why? He was out of order. What a lesson for me, for us, to be in the mind and the will of God. But let's look at Samuel. This Levite, whose mother prayed for a male child to go in there and straighten things out. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11. Elkanah went to Ramah, to his home. The child, that is Samuel, ministered before the Lord. That's what his mother wanted.
She wanted a son that could get in that house of the Lord and serve the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 19. Oh, I like this one. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. She only came once a year. How did she know what his size would be? I see some of you smiling. Now, the men can smile, but these ladies know how to estimate. There's a little baby there. The dad can't do it. I guarantee you that mother will know what size of dress to make for her or buy for her a year from now. Isn't that remarkable? She made a little coat for him from year to year. Verse 21. Verse 20. The child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and with men. That's the son that she wanted. A son that would go in there and restore the house of God to what it should be. Chapter 7, please. Verse 15. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year in circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. His return was to Ramah. There was his house. There he judged Israel, and what? He built an altar. He was a priest. Do you get the point? This is what his mother wanted. This is what his mother prayed for. What a noble woman. Chapter 8. Verse 21. Oh, I like this one. You must excuse me when I say that. I like all of them. But some have strong appeal at certain times. Now let's read. Chapter 8, verse 21. Samuel heard all the words of the people. He rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. He heard the words of the people. Chapter 9, verse 15. Samuel, we just read, spoke to the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear. That's precious. When's the last time the Lord talked to you in your ear? Do you see how close he has gotten to the Lord in the house of the Lord? The Lord spoke to him in his ear. That thrills me. And when we get this book and get alone with the Lord, he speaks to us in our ear. Isn't that nice? Oh, child of God, when's the last time the Lord told you something in your ear? Let me go on. Chapter 16, please. Verse 12. He's now going to do a priestly act. His mother wanted him in there to correct things that were wrong in the house of the Lord. And here he is now. Chapter 16, verse 12. He sent and brought him in. That is David's father. He was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed, a priestly act. Mother's prayer answered. a godly woman.
Chapter 25, verse 1. Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah.
All Israel lamented him. When you go home, look it up.
A certain king died, and we read he was not missed.
Samuel was missed. Why? A man of God, in the house of God, doing the work of God. And why? He had a godly mother. A godly mother.
Come back, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 21.
Oh, how good God is.
Hannah prayed for a son. A son.
Right? Now read with me.
Verse 21. The Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters.
Ephesians 3 and 20. He answers above all that we can expect. What a God we have. When we live godly, he not only answers our prayers, but exceeding abundantly above anything that we can ask or desire.
Some say that the Bible is against women.
The Bible downgrades women. Not this one.
Hannah was a great woman. What insight she had. She had more insight than her husband. She had more foresight and more spiritual vision than her husband.
And there are many women in the Word of God who are outstanding.
I have here a list of 26. I'm not going to read them. Women who were outstanding. You remember Ruth?
No man ever spoke as she.
Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. Your God will be my God.
What a testimony. Great woman.
Miriam.
Oh, she did several great things.
Deborah.
Oh,
she judged Israel not like Isaiah, not like Ezekiel. The men prophets went out publicly preaching. We read Deborah was a prophet, and she prophesied under a tree.
Private, but effective. Oh, sisters, you have a wonderful opportunity that no man has in the private sphere.
And you remember Jael? Sisera, the great general of the enemies of Israel, came to her house. She let him in. He asked for some refreshment. She gave it to him. He laid down to sleep. She took a nail and a hammer, put it through his head, and sacrificed. Great woman. Priscilla, a great woman.
Anna, a great woman. The Syrophoenician woman. When you go home, look up all the great women, women of God. Today, the idea is that women should be CEOs, get up in the business field. And they're doing just what the men are doing, stealing, dishonest, and whatnot. Get up in politics. I'm not supposed to speak about them. But you have one who wants to be president of the United States. Sisters, don't be president of the United States. Stay where the Lord has put you. And let him use you to his glory and to his honor. I'm finished. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently. Wait quietly. Hannah waited patiently. And she waited silently. When Peninnah aggravated her, she didn't defend herself. She left it with the Lord. And that's what we should do. In closing, I don't know if we know this hymn. I've never heard us sing it. Be still, my soul. 601. Do we know that hymn, Brother George? Oh, good, good. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Hannah bore with Peninnah. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change his faithful will remain. Be still, my soul.